You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is lightning round, lightning hour. Carlin, you now. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Disaster? Mess? Ugly? Somewhere in between. We will get to it all over the next hour, and I invite you to be a part of the program early and, well, not often, but you get the point, at 800-919-3776 on Twitter, at Chris Carlin. By all means, check in there as well as Instagram, That Guy Carlin, and the video stream is up and running at ESPN New York 98.7's Twitter handle and, of course, on ESPN New York's Facebook page. My friends, what we saw this afternoon was yet another example of bad baseball. And the Yankees are a bad baseball team right now. It's amazing that you can sit here and consider where they are, even though it's only 12 games in the year, and have legitimate gripes about the situation. We've been here so many times before with these kind of teams, haven't we? Where it's so early in the year, and whether it's the weather or just guys still trying to find their footing or whatever it is, they just haven't been able to get going. I have to tell you, this feels a little bit different because this team right now appears to be playing with absolutely zero confidence. And I am genuinely concerned that if there isn't a shakeup in relative short order of some sort, of some significance, that not that the Yankees aren't going to make the postseason, but that it's just going to be an average, ordinary year, and they are almost going to be treating it like spring training before they get to the postseason. This is where we have put this urgency. The Yankees needing to be better in the postseason. And it has somewhat taken away the urgency from the Yankees just needing to be better, period. It's funny. I heard Jack Curry on the postgame today use the word quicksand. And you tell me that somebody can explain this better than Shane Falco.
Quicksand. You're playing. And you think everything is going fine. But then one thing goes wrong. And then another. And another. And you try to fight back. But the harder you fight, the deeper you sink. Till you can't move. You can't breathe. Because you're in over your head. Like quicksand.
Yeah, Shane. Like quicksand, because they don't do anything particularly well right now other than pitch out of the bullpen. And how much longer can you continue to ask that group to do more than their fair share? You probably saw the stat, but it bears repeating. It's been so bad. Gerrit Cole is 2-0 with a 1.47 ERA and is averaging 6 1/3 innings per start. The rest of the Yankee rotation is 1-4 with a 6.14 ERA and is averaging 4 1/3 per start. That's ugly. That's a disaster. That is troubling at the beginning of a season. I don't look at this as a rotation that's just going to figure itself out. I was against the Corey Kluber signing from the beginning because, to me, a generally good rule of thumb is if someone has to hold a tryout because they haven't pitched in 2 years, no matter how that tryout goes, unless he's throwing 105, don't sign him. Because there's a reason that we got to this point. And with Corey Kluber, there is a reason that we got to this point. He just got absolutely destroyed on home runs today. Three runs in four innings. You might think, oh, that's not that bad. Four innings, guys. Four innings. And threw 77 pitches. Hasn't hit 80 pitches yet this year. I can't figure it out. But when Bo Bichette hits his first home run after the other little stubby guy, whose name I'm forgetting, but you know who I'm talking about, the guy that looks like me if I was a foot shorter, that guy, after he homered earlier in the game, and Kluber is having trouble finding the strike zone, and he's supposed to be about being able to have control and all that stuff. I mean, this is what Aaron Boone is saying after the game, and to me, I'm tired of hearing the words, he's close.
Made some pitches to get out of a jam there in his last inning. So I feel like he's continuing to get close to where he needs to be. And when you think of Corey at his best, it's movement and precision and, you know, just getting to that final, over that final hump, but getting real precise.
Well, there's movement in that the ball is moving all over the place, but there's zero precision to what's going on right now. He's been awful. Jameson Taillon has been awful. And the biggest concern of them all right there is that these were your numbers two and three starters. And somehow, some way, somebody thought this was a solid plan. Somebody thought, our offense will let us ride it out until those two guys get right. This is like another spring training for these two. You know, you almost, it looks to me, in just watching them, like they almost need twice as long as a normal spring training, considering how little they have pitched over the last couple of seasons. Everybody continues to beat the drum of the Yankee offense will hit. It will. But will the Yankee offense hit enough to carry them this year? With this rotation, I would not bank on that. I truly would not. This rotation, let's just call it wrong. Wrong. That's what it is. The whole situation is wrong. And listen, I'm not panicking here, but we know the difference. We know the difference between when a team is just fighting itself for the first part of the year and still finding their way through, and a team that honestly just doesn't look good. And this rotation is putting the Yankees in a terrible spot. And this rotation was put together by Brian Cashman, who has never, never really had a great feel for pitching at all. If you look over the history of the 20 years, outside of bringing in the big guys, outside of Gerrit Cole and CC Sabathia and those guys, where have the other big success stories been? There really haven't been a whole lot. There's been a lot of money wasted on pitching, and there certainly hasn't been enough money, enough pitching developed in the Yankees system during that stretch. You want to say Luis Severino? Okay. They ended up paying him early, but he's not out there. So no matter the situation, it may not be their fault that he's hurt, but he's hurt and he's not out there. And when he has been out there since he got the contract, it hasn't been phenomenal. Can we agree on that? Jordan Montgomery, okay, fourth or fifth starter. We know that. Not an answer. Severino, you're hoping for July. This is not just a wait and carry. Is it possible that the division is actually a little bit better than you thought? Maybe. Again, we're not getting nuts here. But I would look at the composition of the team and look at how poorly they run the bases and look at how poorly they defend. I mean, what do you feel great about besides what the Pens done this year? They've gone above and beyond, and we know that that can only last so long. All the way around, this is a mess. It's an early season mess. And I honestly believe the way the team is constructed, this is not automatically going to go away. You can't just sit there and say it's early all the time. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's not early for some of the other teams that have gotten off to good starts. Is it early for the Dodgers who just won the World Series and yet have come out 9-2? There's an urgency to the way they play. The Yankees don't play with any urgency right now. They don't. They don't treat the regular season like it's important anymore. Maybe we're part of that problem. Maybe the fact that we don't treat the regular season like it's anything anymore because the Yankees just haven't won a World Series in forever. And that rubs off. And everybody just sits here and thinks, we'll get there. Okay. Maybe at some point the car will turn over as you're trying to start it. At some point it's not gonna. Especially if we just continue to expect it to happen. Let's roll. 800-919-3776. Twitter at Chris Carlin. We'll hit up some of the tweets as well and comments on the video stream at 987ESPN's Twitter handle. We begin, and I want to remind you, as upset as you may be as a Yankee fan at the moment, let's keep it clean. Buddha in the Bronx is going to start us off tonight. I know I don't have to remind him that. Buddha, what's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on, Cat Daddy? How are you, man?
You know.
Listen, I'm going to keep it short and sweet because I know you got limited time here. With the Yankees, as you discussed, I mean, listen, with the Boone approach, the pitching, both starting and relief, and the bats, it's not one of those entities that are causing the problem. It's all cumulative. But, I mean, sometimes sports are just they're very basic and simple. These playoff losses, you know, after they pile up year after year, I mean, if you're not the kind of team that has that certain type of core, you know, I don't want to use the word, like you said, to keep it clean. If your team is made up of guys who don't have a certain skill set that has nothing to do with playing, but more to do with their character as a human being, it's hard to overcome that. I think these guys have they've maxed out on their potential with the team as it's presently designed.
Well, that's a disaster if it's true. And I think that as it's presently designed, you have to start to look at that, especially this season, if this is just going to be a sleepwalk through the year type of year. And you know, why were we talking about Buddha not 5 days ago? Hey, Rougned Odor is going to give him a jolt. Really? You need a jolt in the second week of April? A jolt?
When you use the term sleepwalking, doesn't that just bring you to Boone's press conferences? I mean, well, there's no fire in his belly.
But let's call it what it is, okay? Here's the problem with it, and thanks, Buddha, for the call. For any manager these days, not the old school managers, which really are not around that much besides Tony La Russa, which is inexplicable that he's back to begin with. But point is this. You can't offend anybody. Can't offend anybody publicly. You cannot call out your players publicly. Not going to fly. Not going to happen anymore. I saw it with the Mets. You know, when I was doing pre- and post-game for 5 years, there wasn't anybody that went out of his way more to protect his guys than Terry Collins. And Terry, one night, I think it was probably around 2012, and it was later in the year. It was easily late August, early September, and the Mets are sleepwalking through another season, and they lose a game 9-0. And I think they had one hit. And it wasn't against Clayton Kershaw. And Terry comes into the post game, and you can tell he's hot. And he says, when asked, did your team quit tonight? You'll have to ask them. You'll have to ask them. That was the extent of what he said. He was very upset, but all he said was, you'll have to ask them. Terry had to work hard to get that team back because that ticked off guys in the locker room. That's how soft it is right now. And listen, I'm not going to be the guy complaining about how soft it is. That's not me. We're moving on from that because I've accepted that as fact. So when you listen to Aaron Boone right now and he says things like he's close, you know, he's not far away. Aaron Boone's job is to be Kevin Bacon in Animal House at the end of the movie. There's rioting. Somebody's looting the Food King, but he's got his hands up saying, all is well. There's 10,000 marbles on the ground. which is what it looks like when the Yankees are on the base paths, you get the point. His job is to make sure the players are protected, and he keeps that situation calm. Victor in Connecticut is next, 98.7 ESPN. Victor, what's up, brother?
There's 10,000 marbles on the ground.
That's me. I said that 10 seconds ago. What do you got, Victor? Okay, you got nothing. Peter in Jersey City is next, 98.7 ESPN. Pete, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, thanks for taking the call. I just want to say, listen, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I'm not happy with the way it started, but, I think everyone just got to relax. The pitching will come. The hits will come. At some point, they'll reel off 20 out of 25 like they do every single year. And it's just about October, man. So I understand, everyone's a little nervous about the pitching. To me, it's more of the hitting than the pitching right now. Not that Kluber and Cy Young were great the last couple
days. If you're
going
to tell me, here's the problem, Pete. If you're going to tell me to have faith in one aspect of this, you're going to tell me to have faith in the rotation over the hitting? I would not.
I'd have faith in the hitting over the rotation. But yeah. I think the rotation is good enough if all the batters do what they're supposed to do. If you're scoring 6-7 runs a game, I think that the weak parts of the rotation won't be exposed as frequently. You know what I mean? Especially with the solid bullpen.
I understand that, but you can't ask the bullpen to keep doing what they're doing. The Yankees bullpen has been out there virtually more than anybody else in the game. They were right up there before the game yesterday, like second in baseball in relief innings.
Yeah, I think they are second, yeah.
Yeah, but Pete, look, you can't half, do that. You cannot ask them to half, continue to do that, and thanks for the call, because you're never going to get anywhere if that's what you want them to do. John is in Chatham, New Jersey, next on 98.7 ESPN. John, what's going on?
Chris, how's it going?
Good, Johnny. How are you?
Chris, aggravated.
John, where are you from in Chatham?
Excuse me?
Where do you live in Chatham, John?
Off of Passaic Avenue.
I got you. I grew up there. That's why I'm saying. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a newcomer, though, Chris. Okay. I'm a North boy, really.
Well, you're a rich guy, anyway, is what you are, if you can live there now.
I'm in the poor section. Anyway, Chris.
Exists. Anyway, go ahead.
Aaron Boone keeps saying, we're going to start bashing. We're going to bash. And I believe him. Soon they are going to bash. But you know what? You got to pitch, too.
Yeah.
This team has a bad makeup. And I feel good for Sanchez that he had a halfway decent start. But you know what? Trade him now that he had a halfway decent start. Maybe he can get a piece for him instead of nothing at the beginning of the year. And can we play Frazier every day to see what we got?
Frazier should be playing every day. I don't understand that. Thanks for the call, John. I really don't. Frazier should be playing every day. But once they brought Brett Gardner back, like they don't worry about Michael said this the other day. They don't worry about hurting Clint Frazier's feelings. Not in the least. But when you don't play a guy like that every day, he doesn't get better. He's not a player that playing intermittently is going to help him. You say he's your left fielder, let him play. Let him go out there and play. So I'm with you on that. I'm 100% with you on that. 800-919-3776. I want to get to one of the comments over on the video stream. It's on 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter handle. It's from Matthew Wilson, excuse me. Chris, this is what happens when the Yankees are possessed to get under the luxury tax to rest to avoid paying a big bill. Look, it's not even necessarily about that. It's about how the assets have been allocated. Gerrit Cole is one thing. You needed Gerrit Cole. He's the one thing keeping you afloat in a lot of ways. Can you imagine how bad the start would be without Gerrit Cole so far? But you also have guys, I don't understand $11 million for somebody that hasn't pitched in 2 years. I don't understand having Stanton and Judge, as good as he is, can hit the ball out of the ballpark, as we know. You've got $40 million tied up in virtually the same player. And that is going to come home to roost at some point, because you know Judge is going to be hurt at some point. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. And you're asking Luke Voigt, when he comes back, to come back and immediately have this massive impact on an offense. Like, Luke Voigt just went out there last year and had his best year. So he's been injured, and now you're going to ask him to step in and not carry the team, but do some major damage right away? That's asking a lot, is it not? Mike in the Bronx is next, 98.7 ESPN. Michael, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? This is my first time on your show, and I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for calling in. What's going on?
Sure, man. Well, I just wanted to touch on the Yankees, since that's what we've been on. You've been on this whole show. Basically, man, these guys aren't competitors is what I see, man. They make a lot of money. They're giving their money early in their careers, and I don't see the grit. I don't see a lot of hustle. You know, you could still count on a Gardner to still hustle out of little grounders and stuff like that. And that's why he's probably getting more playing time than he should at his level, at the state of his career. But, you know, he's probably one of the only guys that are still bark at guys, you know, and still get on guys to, you know, to play this game the way it needs to be played. And I know the game has changed a lot, you know, where guys before you were 300, you know, you batted 300, you're a superstar. Now they're getting 220, 230 batting averages, but they could yank the ball, and they're getting all this money, man. I just see, you know, they lost last year, right? Lost ugly. And this year, they should have had a fire under them, playing like, you know, like maniacs. And I don't see that from them. And I
think when I hear Aaron Judge say each of the last 2 years, you just remember what it feels like, and you tell the guys that for next year, and you remember this feeling and all that. How's that translating exactly?
It isn't, and you're 100% right, you know, and he might feel that way, but I don't think he has the demeanor, you know, he doesn't have that in him, like, to really, like, portray that, and, you know, into the guys. He might feel like that in his heart, and I know he doesn't want to not be out there when he gets injured and stuff like that. You know, he's a great talent, you know,
There's no getting around that, and thanks for the call, Mike. He's an amazing talent. It's also hard to be a leader when you're not on the field enough. It's very difficult to do. And I agree. I don't think that's his demeanor either. I don't think he's a guy that's going to go around, you know, knocking over post-game spread tables with food all over him. I don't think that's Aaron Judge at all. Spike, down in St. Pete, was at the game today in Dunedin. Spike, what's up, bud?
Thanks for the plug on that. First of all, Buddha's like William F. Buckley compared to me being like Professor Irwin Corey and expressing ourselves. He's always on the money. Love the caller. Love the passion. Here's the deal today. We went to the game. It's an eighth stadium, minor league stadium. The Yankees played. I could say this on the radio, like they had their head up their camps. They didn't. The game went to a crawl late. The sun was brutal, but I love the Yankees, and my kid loves the Yankees, and we're 5-10 feet away from everybody, and Urshela, before the game, gave some young kid his gloves, but they played like their heads were up their asses. They just had nothing to try and win that game. I'm telling you. I felt it for the 4 hours I was there. It was a great experience to go, because they'll never be back there. I was told by a member of Toronto Blues management that they're going to be in Salem. Is it Salem Stadium in Buffalo?
I don't remember the name of it, but yeah, it's the Buffalo. Yeah, it's the one in
they're
Buffalo.
Going back there. So it was the last time we wanted to do something together, and it was a great experience. But, Tris, there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's not energy to it at all right now, Spike. Thanks for the call. There's really not. I buy it. I buy it 100%. And when I hear you say it in person down there, I believe it. It doesn't feel like the energy's really coming through. Not in the least. And, like, I can't even get upset about Chad Green giving up a home run. Yankees bullpen, I mean, that, first of all, that happens. Secondly, the Yankees bullpen has been phenomenal this year. It's really done a great job for everything that they've been asked to do. It's mind-boggling. I'll give you another one. Big question I had post-game. Why was Corey Kluber saying this?
Yeah, you can only pitch as long as they let you.
I'm going to tell you why in just a few moments.
You You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
That's right. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. So Corey Kluber, 3 runs in 4 innings today. Couple of home runs. Really just terrible again. Terrible. 77 pitches. This one threw me off, though.
Same as last time. I thought it was another step in the right direction. You know, I'm as frustrated as anybody with the results on the scoreboard, so to speak. But, you know, that I can tell that things are heading the right direction. And you know, you can only pitch as long as they let you.
All right, a couple things. Number one, you only pitch as long as they let you. There's two problems here. Number one, if you pitch better, they'll let you go longer. That's how it works. Number two, why haven't the Yankees let Corey Kluber get over 80 pitches yet? Like, I know it was really hot down there, and when it comes to pitch counts, there are very difficult 80 pitch days where it feels like, you know, you threw 150. And there are days where it feels like you threw 20 pitches after you threw 80. Now, my feeling is probably that with the heat today, this early in the year, didn't want to necessarily wear him out. Maybe that was taking something out of him because she heard Spike say before the sun was brutal. It was 90 degrees. That was the feel of the game. But he was asked after that, you know, did you want to go back out? Were you fighting to go back out? And he's like, well, listen, everybody wants to go back out, but it's not my job to go and fight to go back into the game. No, absolutely not. I don't love the idea, though, that in the first start of the season, he was supposed to be up around 80 to 85 pitches, and they've gotten into the 70s, but they haven't really gotten anywhere beyond that yet. And secondly, rather thirdly, at some point, those 77 pitches have to last longer than 4 innings. That's the bigger issue. When you're throwing that many pitches and you're not getting beyond the 4th inning, that is a killer. It's a killer for everybody. You're not being economical with your pitches. And Corey Kluber may be at the point of his career where, you know, he's not a strikeout guy by any stretch. He's a location guy. He's a movement guy, all those kinds of things. Doesn't seem to have that right now. And when he doesn't have that, he doesn't have anything. So you hope at some point this starts to get a little bit more economical. But when you throw that many pitches, that's why they take you out of the game. 77 pitches in 4 innings is almost 20 pitches an inning. That is not ideal. Tony in Bridgeport next, 98.7 ESPN. Tony!
Yeah, it's me. I mean, hey, I want to know this, Carlin. When is Cashman going to get accountable for this?
It's a great question.
He's the one who constructed this team.
It's a great question.
How is it that this guy, the pitcher, gets to pick who pitches on the team? They didn't want Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer's throwing strikes with one eye. We can't get him to play because the another guy on the team don't like him. What the hell is that?
It's not that at all. The Yankees were not going to go and spend that money, Tony, on him this year. Thanks for the call. That's not what was going on. This is not about spending money. It's about how the money has been spent. Guys, don't scream and yell about the Yankees being cheap, okay? When they're at the luxury tax threshold. Yeah, I think that if things get really ugly here and they can be convinced that it could be saved, they would go over. I think they would. But the bigger problem is what he hit on at the beginning, Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman has been an issue for a while because it has been the same team, in essence, for the last few years, and there hasn't been any different result. There have been ancillary pieces that have been moved in and out. There have been a couple of pieces that have been relatively big that have been moved out. This is why I wanted Tanaka to be back as opposed to signing Corey Kluber. And Tanaka may have wanted $15 million and Kluber got $11 million. It's not even close what's worth it. Tanaka, at least you know you're getting six innings. They didn't go out and sign anybody who was even an innings eater, per se. How about Elliot in Brooklyn next, 98.7 ESPN? Big E, what do you got?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good. Do you remember a few years ago, Harper popped out, and I think it was Papelbon. He attacked him in the dugout. He screamed at him, whatever it was.
Yeah, vaguely, yeah, yeah.
The Yankees, they need a guy like that. They don't hustle.
Last the Yankees night, need Jonathan Papelbon?
No, no. They need someone to hold everybody accountable. Last night, Shohei Ohtani, he's a superstar in his own right, and the guy's hustling down the line. Gary Sanchez doesn't hustle. Torres doesn't hustle. They don't hustle. They don't care, and I just don't get it. They play like they don't want it.
Elliot, I think there is some validity to what you're saying, and thanks for the call. I don't think there is complete validity to what you're saying. I think that gets overplayed. There is such a thing as, I think you've heard Michael use the word, it's used a lot in baseball, as eyewash. In other words, the fake hustle. The hustle for hustle's sake. You know, to make things look better. You know, there have been guys over the years who have been absolutely guilty of that. I don't get caught up too much in that stuff, but I do get caught up when Gary Sanchez is making base running errors and is not hustling into a ball that could have been a double the other day. All that kind of stuff. Yes, I do get caught up in that. Am I going to lose my mind on a routine ground ball if they're not busting it all the way down the line? I'm not. It's hustling in the right spots. It's hustling when it matters the most. And I'm not quite saying this right. When it matters the most is most of the time, but I don't have the bandwidth to get too fired up over a routine ground ball. But when it comes to just the spots in the game where you can't take things for granted, that's where, when you do take it for granted, you get burned. Sanchez can't be doing that in those situations. And the mental mistakes, base running, mental mistakes. That was just beyond brutal last night. It gives a black mark to every slow fat guy that there is like me. At the very least, we could be smart. That was a huge mistake on the base paths. That gives us a bad name. You're representing me out there when you make that mistake. The ball gets away from the catcher. We don't leave first base unless it ends up in the dugout. And we have to. Know your role. Know your role. Come on.
It's Carlin.
I have very little patience for stupidity.
On 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show is celebrating its new 2 p.m. start by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. Every weekday in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the K Cash Sounder and be ready to call in to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Make sure that Dua Lipa is in the rotation from now on. She stays. That's a phenomenal song. Hit us up on Twitter at Chris Carlin, and let's get you some of those right now. Carl Semkow, Know Your Role is right. These mistakes are stuff that you learn in Little League. If you don't make them, if you go and make them in the big leagues, you're either incredibly stupid or you just don't care. Well, I don't think incredibly stupid, but I think careless at times is how you would put it. AJ Fiore, sure, Britain. Voit, later on Severino, maybe a deadline trade. Yankee season starts in October. Here's the problem with that, AJ, and you know this. When you really devalue the regular season, like frankly we all are right now, it rubs off on the team. And I think there is not a ton of urgency that they're playing with early. And to that point, Mattapup Sports checking in. Yankees have urgency, just lousy starting pitching. Oh, is swagger better than urgency? Or perhaps they should want it more than the other team? Such a silly thing to play with urgency. Really? No, it's not a silly thing. The Yankees aren't not playing with urgency right now. They're not. Listen, Hyunjin Ryu is an excellent pitcher, and he looked every bit of it last night. But let's call it what it was. They were at bats last night that were non-competitive from the Yankees. The starting pitching has been terrible. I don't disagree about that, and that has been the biggest problem so far. The Yankees expect to be able to clobber teams, so the starting pitching doesn't have to be amazing. They're okay winning games 8-6. Little Met fan or a Long Island Met fan 74. It's over, Johnny. Yankees starting staff isn't winning them a World Series. Absolutely not. John Kapp, DFA Jay Bruce right now. I have a feeling that by the end of April, this is me speaking, that Jay Bruce will not be a Yankee. Les Mitchell here checking in. I know you don't like the Yankees, and I think they have played horrible, but come on. No, it's not about me not liking the Yankees. I'll tell you exactly where this all comes down, okay? 100% honesty. I grew up hating them. And I hated them throughout most of my life. Up until, I would say, 6-7 years ago. And the reason why it stopped is, well, it's twofold. Number one, the Yankees being good, it's good for New York. And number two, I have more of an interest in watching the games objectively a lot of times now than with a rooting interest. I do want them to be good because it's good for New York and, frankly, it's good for business. But understand where I grew up. I grew up in New Jersey where my father was a huge Brooklyn Dodgers fan. So we became Met fans. And being a Yankee fan was a non-starter in my household. A non-starter. Like, we'd drive past Yankee Stadium on the way to Shea, and I would point, and I'd say, what's that? And he said, don't worry about it. My family, before I was around, they lived in Boston and Worcester, Mass. So I've got a couple of Red Sox fans in my family, too. But for me, it was just kind of born into. The last several years, seeing the Yankees do better is good for all of us. That's all. So I have no dog in this fight anymore. I really don't. And last one, Chesterfield Chris, I give you a lot of credit. One of the only media guys realistic goes on the roster, overrated Brian Cashman, what he's done. It's time that Cashman goes. It's not about the other media guys. Cashman does play the media game exceptionally well. It's just that we can talk about all this payroll and we can talk about all this money that's been spent, but the Yankees bar was set at a certain level. And that level was winning championships. The Yankees bar is no longer set at that level. It's win as many regular season games as you can to get to the postseason and roll the dice. It's not get it locked up. There is not that level of urgency. And I'll tell you this, that part of it comes down from ownership now. All right, Julian and Patterson next, 98.7 ESPN. Julian.
Yeah, hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
Happy that you're here, and I can hear you for a long time. Like, usually it's short, but let me be quick. I completely agree with you on every point as it pertains to the Yankees. I am a Yankees fan, and one of your previous callers talked about, oh, I'm not worried about, you know, right now I'm worried about September and October. What is the bullpen going to look like in September and October if we only have one starter that can stretch up until the sixth, maybe the seventh inning? You have Seve that might come back in May. Okay, fine, but he's also a strikeout pitcher, just like Gerrit Cole, and they use up a lot of pitches. Are we going to have them pitching 120 pitches, and then hopefully we'll get to the bullpen? Like, what's going on? Like, what are we actually going to do? What is the bullpen?
Want to get six innings out of the starter, Julian, thanks for the call, and then give it to the bullpen. That's an ideal world for them right now. That's what it is. And if they get seven, it's an even better night. That's all they're looking for. Bruce in Flushing has been very patient. Bruce, what's going on?
Chris, two-part call. Who's to blame? Where do we go from here? Obviously, the person to blame is Brian Cashman. He has a history going after injured pitches that doesn't work out. And if I'm Hal Steinbrenner, I'm going to tell Brian, you want me to pay $11 million for this? Second part, where do we go from here? Number one, I tell one of the pitchers that's going bad, okay, go on a DL for 10-15 days, and we'll take care of you. Bring up either Devi or Michael King. Two, if you're not going to play Clint Frazier, you might as well trade him for a starting pitcher. And C, I know you may not have takers, but supposedly you have the takers in the past. Silently explore talks about Sanchez, see who wants it, if anybody, and somebody does want him, pull the trigger on Sanchez to get the job.
The problem is they've overplayed their hands in these cases, Bruce. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, but thanks for the call as always. That with Sanchez, they've waited too long on that one, and they've waited too long on Clint Frazier. You know, they have overvalued the guys that they think are good, but those guys haven't given them enough in return. Frazier has to play every day. Frazier has to play every day. Just let him go play for a month, even if he doesn't hit. Let him go play for a month. Give the guy a shot. Yes, you have to be able to produce, but I also have to be able to let him know that he's going to be in the lineup every single day and not guessing when he gets to the ballpark. Neil, I'm in Alapin. Neil, what's up?
Hey, a lot of callers already talked about this, but I think it's time for the 20-plus year of Cashman is over. We should probably get rid of him before the trade line. There's a potential Theo Epstein available.
It's not going to happen before the deadline.
Well, because he might make another mistake in signing Judge, Sanchez, and keeping Torres instead of trading these guys, or you're not going to get anything once they get free agent. These are injury prone. These are not players that are championship caliber.
He's not going to be signing any of those guys long term right now. And thanks for the call. I get your idea behind it. Okay. The concept of Brian Cashman continuing to run the organization after all this time, after this season, changing that up, it may be time. I mean, to me, it is time. But he has become, as I've said before, like a member of the family. He is the fifth Steinbrenner in a lot of ways. So that doesn't come easily necessarily. But at some point, you got to produce, don't you? And when we're laying this money out and we're not winning championships and we've been as patient as we have, got to change something. And it's not the manager anymore. Like, as much as the manager does not get any credit for anything anymore, it is not fair to pin all of the blame on them when things go wrong. So I don't want to see Aaron Boone lose his job in the middle of the year and Brian Cashman is picking another manager. That would be absolutely absurd. Absurd. And as far as Theo Epstein's concerned, they're not going to do anything there in the middle of the season. So Theo Epstein, if that's what they have their mind set to do after this year, and you're going to have to go out and pay him a ton to get him to come back, hey, I wouldn't be shocked if it happened. I'd be fine if it happened. I mean, this is a guy that's done it for the Red Sox and the Cubs. He could retire now, and he's a legend. He's not going to. Get out the checkbook, and time's running out here on Brian.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.